The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit, too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. This is Criminal Justice Reform with Dr. Amina Ali. Imam Hananaya is on sabbatical until Saturday, and I'm just hot today. I'm just gonna let you know I'm a little warm. So if it comes across as a little short, I'm just a little warm. He's just chilling in the Poconos, like, and I'm not with him. Like, all right, he's gonna get it today. So. But we are going to host Criminal Justice Reform tonight. We got a great topic. We're going to talk to the hearts and minds of the elders tonight in Criminal Justice Reform. And we're going to be talking about restorative justice, model care for elders that are now returning citizens. Oh my goodness, this is going to be delicious tonight. We are going to be talking about elders that are coming home from prison. What do we do with them? How do we help them? And how do we allow them to get back into the understanding of what it is that we need to do with them? We are going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about other interesting topics on tonight's episode, inshallah. But first, as always, let's begin at the beginning. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah ar-Rabbil alamin ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim wa ladh-dhalin. and me. Alhamdulillah, 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 brothers and sisters. It is 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and you are on AM 360. You are listening to Criminal Justice Reform with me, your host, Dr. Mina Ali, filling in for Imam Hananiah Shabazz, who is in the Poconos. And if you are just signing on, tuning in, streaming live, we are going to be talking about the elders tonight. We're going to be talking about criminal justice reform and restorative justice. Model care for the elder returning citizen. And we're going to talk about this. This is a great topic, something I think that we need to talk about more. We don't realize it until there's somebody in our family that deals with it. And then when we go out in society and we don't have resources, we kind of say we've sold them short. But in order for us to have resources, we have to possess a need. So let's talk about the need. Let's talk about why there is a need and why there should always and remain a need. This should be the new social security that we're talking about when we use those words. We should have a security net and a socially adaptative net to catch all of our elders that are returning citizens, all of our elders that are retiring, and all of our elders that are just deciding that this is the part of their life where they're just going to be. They don't have to have a title, a label, a job, or even have to have a responsibility in life. They have earned their place in society, and we need to have a social security for them, a socially secure opportunity for them to thrive and age in space, in place. Okay, so since we said age in place, let's start from the beginning. How about that? Let's start with what we are aging in place. That term is a new narrative. Aging in place means just like mom and dad used to. Remember back in the day when mom and dad raised us in the house and we left and mom and dad was still in the house, and then when times fell short or we got divorced or the husband passed away or went to war, what do we do? We went back home. Well, in order to go back home, there had to be a home to go back to, which means mom and dad didn't leave. So they pretty much aged in place. They stayed and we left. And then when we found our little home, we repeated the cycle by being the source, having our kids, and then our kids left, and then times got hard, and they came back home. And in order for them to come back home, they had to have a place to come back home to. And the rest is history. But now there's a new narrative happening. Elders are leaving the house to the children, and they're moving on to smaller spaces that they can take up. They're moving on to new spaces. There's a new thing, as the kids say. It's a thing now. For we have our eldercation. You know, there was a vacation, then it was a staycation. Now there's an eldercation, and this is when elders live abroad in hotels. For example, there'll be a couple that'll decide to go to, the Virgin Islands, and they'll stay in a hotel for maybe a month. And then they'll go to another island for another month. And this is where they actually live. They have no address. They live where their hotel is. And then when they come back to the United States or come back home here, wherever home is, they get a hotel instead of staying in an apartment. Why? Because a hotel, for the amount of money that you get for a hotel, depending on which one you stay in, is about the same amount as rent. And they don't have any electric bill and no phone bill. They don't have a cable bill. They get all the amenities of the hotel. And they end up staying there as their permanent residence. And they, when they decide they don't want to stay in this state anymore, they move to another state. Let's live in Colorado. Let's go to Florida. Let's go to California. And they just move from hotel to hotel. And there are even corporate discounts that are happening now that if you stay in, let's say, a Holiday Inn in Denver, in Orlando, in San Diego, they give you a discount for staying a month, 2 months, 3 months. So sometimes they get 6 month deals for staying in San Diego for 6 months of the year. Then they go to Arizona for another 6 months. But as long as they stand in a hotel, the Holiday Inn or whatever the comparable hotel is, they get a huge discount on top of AARP and senior and veteran and all the other discounts they get. This is amazing. And this was thought of because it was a couple of feisty elders that decided they didn't want to stay with their children. Their children are gone. They're grown. They say they're grown, so take care of yourself because we're going to take care of ourselves. And this new movement is causing a disruption, if you will, in the status quo of what elders are supposed to do. Well, in thinking about that, you know, I got to bring it on home. What about the elders that are coming home from prison? What about the elders that are coming into their own now that they have lost their mate? What are they doing? How are they getting by? And what are some of the resources out here that are a social net, a village security that they have? And when I noticed and I did my research, I didn't see any. I didn't see any. There was any resources that I saw that was continual. It was a temporary grant for this program. It was a private grant for this program. But there wasn't anything that says concrete. There wasn't any state-sponsored organization. There wasn't any state-sponsored plan. So I think it's time for us to start talking about this. And, you know, as always, as we start talking about this, we kind of we quell that cognitive dissonance that's in society that pretty much says that we need to change, but they won't do anything. But we're going to show some ways to say something and do something too. And I think it's going to be a pretty interesting show, inshallah. All right, so criminal justice reform, restorative justice, model care for elders and returning citizens. Well, we're going to put that together, an elder returning citizen. These are the people that went in the 80s before cell phones, and now they're coming out with the iPhone 10. These are people that went in the late 70s when there wasn't even a computer that didn't have a green screen and a word processor that was separate and apart from it. There wasn't Word, it was a word processor. And now they're coming home and we have the Mojave iOS operating system. And if you don't know what that is, then that tells you that you're a little out of date. But to know that is to know that there are people that are literally coming into that same mindset that you just had by not knowing what Mojave iOS is. And they're trying to operate in this world. They're feeling like they're too old to be young and too young to be old, and they really don't have a place anymore. And these young whippersnappers, as my grandmother used to call them, they're coming up fast and furious in technology and arts and STEM, and it's like, they couldn't even go back and teach because even the stuff that they teach is almost archaic now. If it's not computer driven or coded in some way, it's like it's a dinosaur. So how do they fit? How do they get back into society? Well, we have a couple of definitions we're going to go through, and then we're going to talk about the topic of reintegration. So what is ageism? Because this is what they're really dealing with. What is ageism? Ageism is a thing. It's a thing that has been described and defined as prejudice or discrimination on the grounds of a person's age. This is when things are hindered or harbored. These are ways that people are denied and ostracized. And this is the segregation that is intentional based on someone's age. This is when you go into an employment agency and someone asks you specifically, they look at your application and you're in there and they say, do you have any special needs? But they're not asking as in hearing or vision. They're asking as in adaptative. They're assuming that when you come in with a little bit of gray in your hair, that you're going to need a walker, a cane, or a ramp of some sort. And then because it's going to cost too much to become ADA compliant, they deny your application. True story. Then they come in and they hear you say that you're about 55 or 60 and you've been a secretary. Well, they don't call them secretaries anymore, and they call them administrative assistants. And then there's levels to that even. There's admin 1, admin 2. I think the highest I've heard is admin 4, and that's an executive secretary, whatever that is. It's an executive admin, and then there's a legal admin, and then there's a medical admin, and there's just levels to this. So if you come in and say, I was a secretary for 40 years, they're going to look at you and be like, you mean when you had shorthand, when you were doing dictation? Well, truth be told, I'm a little archaic like that myself because I still have dictation in my medical practice, and when I finish a case, I always have someone scribe what I write because I'm a writer. So I'll get a pen and piece of paper and write down my notes, and then somebody has to now speak it into a dictaphone, which now translates that into text, so that I can now bill insurance. They're called transcriptionists now, but we used to have dictation. So a lot of things are changing now, but the ageism is very relevant and it's very prevalent, especially in urban areas. So if you're being released into an environment that is city or urban or very mainstream in the community, you're going to be meeting mainstream and very urban things that you're going to have to tackle. Well, ageism is a piece, but what is the age in place? What does that mean now? We talked about it back in the days that we remember, but what does age in place mean now? Age in place is a descriptive that is a narrative that means that there is a social norm that needs to be developed to allow seniors to be able to age where they are. If their descriptive housing or home is to be a heirloom home, which is a new word, these homes have to be adaptive and adjusted through mortgage and equity lines of credit, as well as the short-term allowances that are had through senior lending. So this is saying that there are adaptations that we need to bring into place. We need to allow them to hold on to their homes as they are and where they are. And then we need to have resources for them to be able to adjust to their new living environment if they have to change. For example, if they have arthritis and they can't walk anymore, yet they have a flight of stairs, there has to be some kind of chair or lift installed, but who's going to put that in there on a fixed income? There has to be some lines of equity that comes from that house that allows them to automatically have it rehabbed as needed. Their insurance would come in and do it, but some of them are not paying full benefit. Even if they're veterans, we're noticing that the veterans are not even getting full benefit. But let's talk about this restorative thing as it relates to those returning from prison. Now, I spoke about the norms in society, the normatives that we all can relate to, but now let's streamline that down to a specific demographic. In criminal justice reform, we have to see that ageism is in review. Aging in place is an initiative for sustainable and social protection, and it deals with sustainable goals 3, 8, 10, and 17. So, of course, I'm with the UN, so a lot of our programs has to meet sustainable goals, and in order for them to be accepted, they have to meet certain sustainable goals, and you have to at least mention 2. But we took on the adaptation of 4 of them. But what does that look like? I'm going to read some of the topics we're going to get into today, and I'm going to read over some of the things that we are going to talk about in conversation. And I really need your call-in presence today. I'm going to see if I can get a couple of people to call in and see and speak from either experience as someone that is aging in place or speak on someone that is a child of someone that is currently aging in place, inshallah. Okay, some of the sustainable programs are competent healthcare alternatives to wellness care. These are palliative healthcare, end of life, geriatrics, and continual hospice care, what that looks like, and getting plans in action that are free and available. Elders in spiritual houses of worship, what does that look like? Used to be young and getting up and down, and now sometimes you got to go into the masjid and you got to find a chair because they don't even give you one. Or if they are, they're so far in the back that you all that walking you got to do to get one, you might as well go ahead and get up and down on the rug as it is. So how are we managing ourselves in spiritual houses of care now that we're getting up in age? Then we're going to talk about seniors in social service groups. Now, these are the Lions Club and the Rotary Club, local sororities, and things that we're doing that we used to do when we were younger, but now it's going to take on a more senior moment in our service. And the last one we're going to talk about is the migrant elder. This is pensioners and those that are making political decisions to move elsewhere in their aging. All right, so we're going to talk about a couple things. We're going to talk about aging in place as it deals with healthcare. We're going to talk about it as it deals with houses of worship. And then migrant elders. These are elders that just don't want to stay home no more. These are ones that are going to taking their pension and they hitting the road. What does that look like now? We're going to also talk about those in substance abuse. We're going to bring that in also, HIV and substance abuse, now that the AIDS virus is now well over 30 years old. And we're talking about, well, actually almost 40 years old, because it came out in the 80s, so it's well over 40 years old. And it's now aging. So we got the aging HIV. What does retrovirals look like now, and affordability with fixed income? Those that are coming out of prison that may have acquired HIV or hepatitis while in prison, what does that look like to afford that? So let's talk about those things. We're going to pause for our first PSA break, and when we come back, we're going to start looking at different topics that we can talk about as it relates to putting this piece together so these elders can have a greater way to understand what life is and how we can live it together, inshallah. You're listening to Criminal Justice Reform with Dr. Amin Ali. We're going to pause for a PSA break, and we will be right back.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, host of El Islam-Based Conversations and Financial Literacy Equals Financial Liberation, right here on AM360. I'm honored to invite you to cruise with me and the AM360 and the CWSE family to help celebrate the 10th anniversary of American Muslim 360 Radio and the building of our entire national intelligentsia. In March of 2020, we'll be departing the U.S. from Tampa, Florida, for a destination, the beautiful Western Caribbean island of Cozumel. We have so much planned for you, including pre-cruise interfaith events in Tampa, to a wonderful Juma at Sea, a grand gala and award celebration, and a national symposium. Yours truly will join my fellow talk show hosts to bring the AM360 Network and some powerful intelligentsia presentations live aboard the Paradise. In addition to a wonderful family, friends, and community cruise, more than 10 presentations are planned, from the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and the Courtship Cafe to the Challenge of Technology, connecting with the global group intellect via the United Nations, to an intelligentsia presentation you won't want to miss on estate planning, with a special gift package reserved for cruise conferees. As a national talk show host, I'm blessed with the privilege of coming to you every week on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. And now I look forward to the honor of meeting you in person and celebrating with you aboard the Paradise. So visit cwsc.us, that's cwsc.us now, and get ready for a faith voyage of a lifetime and a celebration for all ages. Bon voyage. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, and we're back. You're listening to Criminal Justice Reform here on AM360. This is Dr. Amin Ali. I am filling in for Imam Hanani Shabazz, who is literally at the Poconos, and I'm just like mad at that. I'm mad. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm just hot. But what is this? I don't understand why this is happening. Hold on, brothers and sisters. I don't understand this one. Alhamdulillah. Sorry, I got a little interference there. Had a network call coming in, and I don't know why, because I thought I had it on silent, but I was wrong. All right, anyway, back to the subject at hand. We have a couple of topics we're going to talk about. Competent health care, elders and spiritual houses of worship, migrant elders and pensioners that are taking it on the road. Okay, in no particular order, let's talk about elders and spiritual houses of worship. All right, so what does it look like? You are aging in place, and you are coming home. And when you were younger, you know, of course, you grabbed the Quran and you grabbed the kufi if you're a brother. If you're a sister, you put on hijab and you practice your deen out here. Home. I'm home now. For the first 5 minutes, you just home. You ain't brother, sister, Muslim, nothing. You just home. You just so happy to touch soil that you just are enjoying the cool air, the cold air. It can be 0 degrees outside, but it always seems like it's a different temperature than when you were on the yard. right outside the gate. But it's a different temperature, different air, and that tickles me. But I enjoy seeing that joy on their face when they come home because it allows me to know they are happy. But what does that happiness mean to an elder that has come home with confusion, being lost, feeling alienated, not having any kind of real support because most of the people that are their age are not there helping them? Most of the people that are their age are dead or dying, and they are trying to figure out life now without their peer support. They have to look to those that are younger than them. So herein lies the difficulty. Sometimes you may not be able to parole out to your own home of comfort. In the military, we call it home of record. And those are the places that you came from before you went in. When you go into the military, they tell you, list your home of record. This is the place that you came into the military. This is the address you gave them when you came in to the military. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to give you a ticket back to that address until you tell them differently. And they're going to give you a plane ticket and a couple dollars in your pocket when you transition out of the military. But when it comes to coming home from prison, that's not the same. And that may not be the case if you are an elder. Case in point, you were 19 when you went in and you came to your mama's house. But mama's gone. House is sold. Where are you going? You 55, 60 now. You done been in 40 years. You done been in 50 years. And there's no place to go. Where do you go? If you had children that you know, they didn't make provisions for you. And if they did, it was, you know, a couple of, maybe a couch or until you get on your feet. How do you get these services? Then you figure the only thing that you knew when you were in there was your belief. So how do you go to a masjid and get to know people other than just through the masjid? In other words, how do you get to know people that'll help guide you and strengthen you? Maybe there was something in the deen that you were doing in there that you can't do out here. So now they got to redirect you. You may not have been able to fast through Ramadan. And maybe now that you're older, your health isn't making you not fast through Ramadan. So how do you get the help to sustain yourself and then help feed others as you make up the fast after Ramadan? Who's helping you with tajweed and who's helping you with Quranic recitation? If you had your boy inside and he's no longer there, who's going to help you now? Then what does it look like to go to a masjid and get to know people in their own direct? Like, in other words, now so many of the masjids are culturally divided. So now you have the African masjid, the Bangladesh masjid, you have the Arab masjid. How do you find one without passing another that makes you comfortable? How do you get into that societal niche that allows you to feel comfortable now that you're home? Stories are written that there are seniors that are more likely to commit suicide upon returning home the older they get. That fascinated me. And they mentioned that if they don't have a house of worship or they don't have a familial support, which means somebody from the family or like family or somebody that is edging a tenant of family, if they don't have a distant cousin, an aunt, a child, a niece, a nephew, somebody that's going to take them in, they're more likely to die of loneliness, fatigue, their disease, or whatever it is that they manifested, or suicide. Why is suicide out of the top five? I read a report from NIH that says that as you age, one of the first signs of dementia or those that are aging, bridging into Alzheimer's, is suicidal ideations. I didn't realize that. And there isn't anything in the criminal justice system that is going to brace you beforehand. There isn't any programs that are out there that helps you mentally adapt the older you get. They just assume if you got an out plan that you're just going to come home. But there is a mental incapacity that comes with aging and coming with not mental incapacity as far as the dexterity of the neurons. I'm talking about a mental incapacity as to how do you formulate those cognitions in real time to get the real support and things you need. There isn't a mental health caseworker for elders that are transitioning from incarceration. There aren't any social workers we call it geriatric social workers. Those are the ones that work with elders. But those are placing you in homes and home care, hospice care, which is the next topic we're going to talk about. But when it comes to religion and houses of worship, there aren't any people in place right now that are going to be able to talk to you about that. So we're going to bridge into the next one. And this is competent health care. This is palliative care, end of life, geriatrics, and continual hospice care if you get older. Now, there is an organization here in New York. It's called RAP. Returning Aging Persons Prison. It's Return of Aging Persons in Prison. And it's a program that is designed to help people to get mandatory minimums when they get to be a certain age. And this is to say that if you are 70, 75, there's a less likelihood of you to commit a crime or not be eligible for parole. There is a minimum mandate that is trying to be put into place to say that when elders get to a certain age or a certain physicality, they should have a mandatory parole date. This will allow them to be able to go back into society so that the state does not have that medical necessity as a burden on them. They were not built to house or hold them, but they're going to hold them to the very last go round, and they're going to house them just to have that money. When really there's a care plan that can be put in place that's free. You go to a local hospital, your local doctor, if you have one. And they can put a care plan in place, which will allow for the subsidies of what you already have, which is your Social Security and maybe your pension, to be able to take care of you as you age in place. That means if you're placed in a home or placed in a home situation, especially as veterans, you will have your compensatory money to be set aside. And it's almost like an elder power of attorney, where things are set aside and set up for you as a living trust so that you can use what you have to get what it is that you need and want without having to ask for it. It's a legal binding document. It is free of charge, and you can get it done at any paralegal that's worth their salt will do it for free, or any law office will do it. They don't advertise it because they're not advertising too much free. But they will allow you to have this elder care plan put in place. This is up and until your last will, last rights, and even your final rights. Who's going to come and give you your final rights? Who's going to come and take your body when you have returned to Allah and you have to have your janazah? Who's going to wash your body? All of those things are dictated. But while you're alive, There are precepts to returning to from incarceration that most people don't know. Most elders are automatically guaranteed financial services through HRA or DFAC or whatever your social service agency is where you are. Automatically, if you're over the age of 65 and you're collecting mandatory Social Security, which is Social Security that's given to you whether you earned a dime or whether you earned 5 million dimes, they are saying now that they won't advertise it, but you're guaranteed SNAP program, which is the supplemental nutritional plan. This is where you can get food stamps, as we used to know it as. And it's mandatory. Like, in other words, they can't deny you. And then they can't cut you off. Ah, check into that. This is also saying that if you have a housing arrearage, you can get subsidies for your housing because you are on Social Security and they can verify it because it's a state-issued fund. So if you get behind in your rent, they give you certain things. Like in New York here, they call it a one-time shot, which is really not a one-time shot. They just say that. But they give you arrearages up to 6 months. And that's if you're on Social Security. Now, Social Security comes to those that have earned it. But they always have this adage, can you get it if you're in prison? No, you can't get it when you're in prison. But when you come home, you have a right to it. Now, Some states will say, no, you can't get it. Some states will say, yeah, you can, but it'll be a less amount. Some states will give you your whole amount, what you've earned, but any supplemental Social Security you will not get. So you have to check that, but those are still your rights. And these are still things that can help with this health care that we're talking about. This can help with the supplement in your health care, your Part B, your Part A. This will allow people to be able to get Medicare and be able to be substantiated even on Medicaid. Some say you can't get Medicaid and come home from prison, Amina. You're a felon, you can't get Medicaid. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true in every state. And what's even better in that truth is that if you're aged in place, which means that you have a disability or a handicap situation that is allowing you affordability of hospice or palliative care, not only do you get that, but they give you that for your care. So that means that you won't even have a bill to leave to your family. Again, they won't advertise it, but they give it to you. Do they tell these things to elders when they're coming home? No. Okay, let's look at migrant elders. Now, these are migrant elders. These are the pensioners that are taking it on the road. I call it migrant because it's just like, you know, we talk about migrant workers, how they go from farm to farm to farm. Well, these are migrant elders. This is the program I was talking about that these elders are coming into now that are trying to get assumed housing. Well, most people are looking at housing that you can afford, and they're looking at supplemental housing that most people don't know to have. And they're also looking at housing that business, you know, corporate sponsorships and nonprofits are trying to get into. But one of the things that we do for our women, and I think this is about to catch on like wildfire as soon as I say it, some of the things that we do for our women is we put them in long-term hotels. These are the extended stay hotels that we have with a little kitchenette and a little refrigerator, and they have a room plus a, you know, a couple of cots in there that they can stay. And these are for women that are pregnant, having a new baby, and maybe have a sibling or two that they have to bring along, maybe a two-year-old or three-year-old. We put them in extended stays for 30 days at a time. Now, what does that do? That's like paying someone's rent for 30 days. And they stay there, and they get situated. And although it's a hotel, it's still a stable environment that they can get in until they can pay better. New York State is adopting a plan where they're allowing women that are newly released from prison or newly reuniting with their children to be allowed to stay in extended stay hotels for upwards of 90-day increments. This policy and procedure is allowing the women to be able to situate and stabilize their children and all the siblings that they are bringing into the fold, and allow reunification to be monitored and actualized in real time without worrying about housing instability and food insecurity. So this is saying that this is a novel idea for even seniors. Why don't we put them in extended stay hotels that allow them to be able to cook and clean on their own and have their own formidable housing availability without having to burden society? And since there are community action agencies out here that are trying to get this stability under wraps, one of the programs that I had with our community action agency, we have a community board for here, and I mentioned it to us, and the community board president came to me and said, Amina, I think you really hit the nail on the head. I never even thought of putting them in a hotel. I said, we've been doing it with women since before 9/11. Because we had nowhere else to put them, and we knew hotels was not going to ask for a certain money, how much money you're making. It's not rent controlled. It's not based on your income or if you got good credit and can afford it. As long as you got money every day, every week, every month, whatever the contract is, they're going to let you stay. And we used to put them in there 30 days at a time that allowed them to, especially if they just had a baby, that gave them the full week. And then we extend another 2 weeks to give them the full 6 weeks. And if they had to go back to work, we gave them the full 2 months, upwards of 90 days. And that 90 days, I gave them a chance to get a paycheck or two under their belt. And that would allow them to be able to transition into an apartment that is suitable and able for them to take care of. This allowed the parent to also find suitable housing and school systems for their children. Well, since elders are not classed in a school system need, they still are classed in a demographic need that maybe other peers are not in their area. Maybe we don't have a needed area that has a high senior citizen rate. Maybe get them close to a senior citizen center. So instead of putting them in a house right away, maybe we'll put them in an extended stay that's maybe 4 blocks from the nearest senior center. So now they have a way to get back and forth to the senior center, or maybe an adult daycare center that they can walk to and get some exercise. Or if they're differently abled or handicapped, then maybe they can access that senior center for some activity. But either way, the design is to get them acclimated to a life that they're comfortable with. And the last one, we're talking about a competency that is scheduled for health care and wellness care. Excuse me. There is a piece, and this really bothers me. I'm glad I left this for last. We're going to go to a PSA break in a minute. But I'm so glad I left this one for last, because I'm going to ask for a call-in on this afterwards. But I'm for about 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes on this one. Why is it that when we are younger, we tend to take our children to the emergency room, even if it's, I think they get scraped their knee, but it looks like I'm seeing too much flesh, so I might need a stitch or two, and I'm just going to take them in anyway. I know back in the day, if you needed a suture or not, if your mother or your grandmother couldn't afford it, you weren't going to get that suture. You were going to get the best remedy she had and some salve and a good Band-Aid and hope it closed up. I know there's a whole lot of us walking around with a nice little keloid or whatever it was, because the skin had to grow across the wound to heal. And you got a nice little raised little indentation on that, you know? And it's like, oh, are you serious? Like, ma, I just needed a stitch and this would have looked a little better. Well, she didn't have the money. So this is what you had to deal with. But even so, you all right? And you worked out just fine. But now that we're of age, and I don't want to believe it has to do with we stubborn. We don't want to go to the doctor. No, I don't believe that, because we raised our children in knowing that if we had to go to the doctor, that it was accessible. We didn't even think twice. We went to the emergency room if we had the insurance and needed to go right away. And nowadays with these urgent cares, this is like the emergency room without all the weight, because it's urgent, not emergent. It's like I scraped my knee and I may need a stitch, so I go to the urgent care instead of emergency and bleed to death. But now that we're seniors, it seems like they don't go to the hospital. And a lot of them don't have primary care. Why is that? It was such a concern for us raising children, and even when we got a little older. But now that we are aged into a complacency, we don't even go to our family practitioner. A lot of us from the old school feel like, you know, we got a little tincture, or we got a little salve, or we got a little concoction in the house, we'll do that. But then when that doesn't work, we end up going to the doctor when it's almost too late. But those that are coming home from prison, they don't even have that option. And why is that? Why don't they have that option? Why is it that they still have to deal with what it is that they are going through even now that they've come home? Let's talk about that. We're going to go to a PSA break. And when we come back, we're going to finish that question. Why don't people that are coming home from incarceration have that availability and access to healthcare as they did before they went in? Nothing really has changed. And if they've been released into society, why hasn't society released the care that they need? This is Dr. Mina Ali. You're listening to Criminal Justice Reform. I'm standing in for Imam Hananiah Shabazz. We're going to go to a PSA break, and we will be right back.
Peace be upon you. Are you enjoying what you're hearing? If so, stay tuned. We'll be right back after these short messages. You are listening live to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in all of the nation.
On the next episode of Community Buzz, we'll be sharing some of the events happening around the country and taking your calls. and we'll be sharing a major update on the 2020 CWSC AM 360 National Intelligence Year Interfaith Cruise to Cozumel. Join us on Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Community Buzz, AM 360's weekly magazine show, where we ask, have you heard? Every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Don't miss it. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace be unto you. Masjid Free Haven in Lawnside, New Jersey presents the 5th annual A Day with the Prophet, a spiritual educational weekend, April 19th to the 21st. Guest speakers, Imam Jihad Safir, L.A., California. Aisha Mustafa, editor of the Muslim Journal. Imam Abdul Aziz, New York City. Imam Salim Mukman, founder of Maui. Maisha Aziz Esquire, Masjid Free Haven. And Imam Malik Mubashir, Philadelphia. The weekend begins with Juma prayer. Saturday workshop includes free lunch and Sunday free breakfast. Join us at the Wayne Bryan Community Center, 323 East Charleston Road, Lawnside, New Jersey. Vendors are welcome. For tickets and vending, call 856-261-5990. That's 856-261-5990. See you there.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and we're back. You're listening to Criminal Justice Reform with Dr. Amina Ali. I am filling in for Imam Hananiah Shabazz, and we are talking about the sustainability of elders. We are in the throes of this most important piece of this, or in a conundrum, if you will. In talking about restorative justice, the model care for elders and returning citizens, we have asked, why is it that as elders we have access to care? Even if we don't, we can get access to care. But when we return from incarceration and we're at that same age, we don't seem to have that access. What happens? What do you think happens? Let me see if I can open the phone lines real quick. If you'd like to give your insight as to what it is that you think is the reason why elders don't have access to care when they return from incarceration, or if you want to share what your experience is about those that you know or know of that has returned and the hardships, press 1 on your phone, and I will bring you right in the queue. In the meantime, in between time, we are going to continue the conversation. What about those pensioners? Those, I call it pensioners, but they are retirees. They are those that are collecting Social Security, or as a girlfriend of mine said, they have left the plantation. She said she has left the plantation. She, you know, we always say Houston, there's a problem. She says, Houston, I've left the plantation. And that was her designation, that she is no longer working for corporate America. She is no longer slaving away for the man. And she is now in her own, and in her second wind, she is developing projects and programs for senior care living. And a lot of my information was that I received was from her dictation. This is a lot of her data that she's uncovered and research that she's done, and she went to the National Archives in D.C. to even pull up those that are dealing in the diaspora. These are those that have come here to the United States as a young person, and now they are getting older here in the United States. Some of them are deciding whether they want to go back home now. You know, I made my money, I made my little coins, I made a life for myself and made a better living for my children, and now it's time for me to go on home in case I decide that time's up. So now we're dealing with those that are trying to return back home. So there's issues that are around the elder care. But more specifically, what about those that are deported? What about those that are deported and they're older and they are deported from incarceration? So now they have to leave the land that they were comfortable in, go back to the land that they're from. And if they were political prisoners, that might mean a death sentence. That also might mean that their inability to thrive in that environment that they're going back to because they're older now, and even their technology, even in up-and-coming countries, is better than it was when they left. Now, how do they assume a role of elder placement in a country they haven't been in about 20 or 30 years, even though it's their native country? And then how do they get back there and sustain a life that is prominent and fruitful? Well, we have developed the Evolve program, E-V-O-L-V-E. Of course, I can't bring a problem without a solution. And Evolve stands for Elder Village, Options for Life Positive Vulnerable Elders. Evolve, Elder Village, Options for Life Positive Vulnerable Elders. Elder Village is a construct. It is actually programs that were designed for women incarcerated that are coming home that are now grandmothers. They're not coming home as mothers. They're coming home as grandmothers. And these are women that may have had children in the 80s and 70s, and now their children have children, and maybe they're even a great-grandmom. And how do they come back as a matriarchal piece in the family and stand their ground as an elder and remain intact with family members that don't know them, that all they've known is grandma's been in prison? All they've known is great-grandmama has been in jail. Now they're coming home and trying to maintain their status. They're trying to fit in like they did in prison all those years. Now they got to come into another strange environment like they came into the prison environment, but only now it's with their family. They have grandchildren and great-grandchildren they've never met yet because they couldn't come up or because they didn't come up. And just like with women in imprisonment, a lot of women don't get visitors. And because of that, there are children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren that they will not meet. And if they don't meet them when they come home, how are they expecting to get the respect from those younger ones when the younger ones only knew them to be in prison? The Zayd Ibn Harith Islamic Center was founded on a simple premise: make the deen of al-Islam functional to understand and easy to live. This extends to believers and non-believers alike. We are required to please our Lord in the way that we are ordained and talented for the fulfillment of our personal mission while here on earth. Our goal is to make this world a blessing for our children and our legacies. We see al-Islam as a verb, an action word, and Muslims are the athletes in this race to finish in the greatest favor of Allah. Evolve is a part of an inland health education and livelihood program, which includes a women's reproductive health wellness clinic for those that are newly returned from incarceration, to include a rural access to healthcare programs for elders in that same vicinity. This program takes education, technology, and tribal traditions and competitively utilizes them for a new narrative in the elder's life. And I read all that because I wanted you to know that this is the mission of Evolve. It is to take the woman with what she has and build her into who she needs to be, not what she wants to be. So this is meaning that she may need to get healthy in order to stand in the example of keeping yourself up. So if nothing else, you're teaching by example how to keep yourself at an elder age in a healthy state. This is also allowing her to be able to start new traditions in the family. No, I wasn't here for Christmas, or I wasn't here for Eid, or I wasn't here for Hanukkah either. But let's develop new traditions that will include me or allow me to adapt to the way that you do it. So instead of having Thanksgiving in November, let's have it during the week of Kwanzaa. And let's get everybody together at the end of the year. And those that want to celebrate Christmas can. Those that want to celebrate Hanukkah can. Those that want to, and we celebrate with you. And let's have a Thanksgiving that we all made it to the end of the year. These are actual traditions that people have established and maintained as women and forebearers in this matriarchal realm of family. These are also traditions that have been brought from prison that they did in prison and brought it home and established them. And that helped to discern and ease and transition when they left prison to come into their new environment of established tribe and tribalism, culture, and the adaptation of religion and religious responsibility to those in your care. This also sets a standard for women as well as men in a creative clause of understanding, togetherness, and appreciation of the gratitude that mom is finally home. Now, I read that to you because I wanted you to understand that there is a purpose to the mission. there is a greater goal here, especially maternally. And it's real easy for me to speak on the maternal side, but it's real positive for us to understand what it is that we are going to present. And the presentation has to be properly wrapped with the pretty red bow and gifted to the person that is deserving. And these women deserve it. These elders deserve it. These men returning from incarceration deserve it. And the elder voice is strong. We have to determine how strong we're going to allow it and how powerful we're going to give its presence. Likewise, we're going to have to attain a certain respect that this person is now coming home and this person deserves a space. Just like we were taught, they don't give you a chair at the table. You need to bring your folding chair and you need to put yourself at that table. Pull up your own chair and allow yourself to be in the comfort of those that are around you. And understand that you have a place in this world. The worst thing an elder can do is to go to their resting place knowing that they never had value, never maintained their integrity, or never had worth in their tribe. How they lived 50, 60, 70 years and have not amounted to anything other than a title in a placement that they never held. Those that testify to how they feel when they return from incarceration have said things like, "Here I am 70 years old. And I can't tell you where my address is, nor can I tell you how I'm going to earn money to take care of that address." I've heard men say, "I'm supposed to be the sustainer and the provider, and I can't even feed myself. But I've been doing this for 65 years. Why is it so hard for me now?" I've had women say that I'm 70 years old. And the only job I can get is at McDonald's. I was thinking that maybe I would be brought back into my community and they would, in my church, and they would allow me to at least clean the church so that I would feel useful to at least a congregation of people. I had to find a job in McDonald's in the lowest end of town, and I have it the overnight shift, which tempers my security and my self-worth. Now, these are stories, true stories, that have been given to those that have returned from incarceration. And there were solutions to these stories that we didn't look to because we were so engulfed with understanding that we just didn't know what to do. They'll give you the answers to the questions that you ask, and they'll even tell you how they need to be helped. But it's up to us to listen. And are we intent with listening to the problem as we are for the solution? Are we dedicated to using both ears to humble ourselves, to hear their plight so that we can be effective in giving the solution? Or are we just listening and waiting for them to keep quiet so that we can tell them what they need to do for us? These are questions that we have and unanswered questions that we seem to skate by with. But as the disruptor that I know I am, I come with an understanding that we can change, we can be better, and we can have better with our elders, but we have to want that for ourselves. And as Muslims, that is what we are commanded to be. Allah, we will be better for each other because that's really the only thing that we can be. I thank you so very much, brothers and sisters, for allowing me this time. Imam Hananiah, wherever you are, I hope the water is cold. I am so jealous that you are in the Poconos and I'm sitting here talking. Oh my goodness. But enjoy yourself, Imam. Come back rested, come back assured, and come back more empowered than you were, inshallah. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for allowing me your time tonight. And brother Imam Bilal is coming back. Yay. Alhamdulillah, my brook, Tugbeer. Alhamdulillah. And you're looking for him. Coming up next, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, host of El Islam Based Conversations and Financial Literacy Equals Financial Liberation, right here on AM 360. I'm honored to invite you to cruise with me and the AM 360 and the CWSE family to help celebrate the 10th anniversary of American Muslim 360 Radio and the building of our entire national intelligentsia.
in March of 2020, we'll be departing the U.S. from Tampa, Florida, for a destination, the beautiful Western Caribbean island of Cozumel. We have so much planned for you, including pre-cruise interfaith events in Tampa, to a wonderful Juma at Sea, a grand gala, an award celebration, and a national symposium. Yours truly will join my fellow talk show hosts to bring the AM 360 Network and some powerful intelligentsia presentations live aboard the Paradise.